It's time for Michigan Sports Talk Morning Show, broadcasting live all across the state of Michigan and Northwest Ohio. This is X's and Bros. Stroud is set
again. Oh, John Boat. Swings it out to Sadiq Bey. Gets Benny in the corner.
To Abdul Rahman at midcourt. Extra pass.
And it goes for the win. The three-pointer by Jordan.
Here's the give.
Walker! Kenny Walker! Touchdown! Smarty!
Goff's got it. Back, looks, throws, enter.
Yes! Touchdown to Troy Myers! They did it! Amon-Ra St. Brown to the receiving end!
Sends one to deep left center field. Back it goes, and that ball's
out of here! A grand slam from Miguel Cabrera! He's got two goals! Larkin in on goal! Scores! His first career hat-trick!
Here's your host, Anthony Bellino.
Rise and shine, folks. Good Tuesday morning to you. It is the ninth day of April, 2024. We welcome you to X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports and Network. Ben Glaze, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Thank you for joining us, no matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio and worldwide on the iHeartRadio app. We say good morning to you. We welcome you. We thank you. We appreciate you. And, of course, we encourage you. Join the program at any time. You can text the keyword sports radio. Send that to 21000 sports radio to 21000. Our Meijer Supercenter guest line, 866-838-4843. That's 866-838-4843. We're on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook X's and Bros. And, of course, good morning to our television audience as well on BCSN and streaming live on our YouTube page at Michigan Sports Network. Added.com to that to find our website. XPMornings at gmail.com is our fan feedback email inbox. And you can find us all individually on Twitter. Ben Glaze is at the Ben Glaze. Ryan Elke is at Ryan L underscore Key. And I'm Anthony at AC Bellino. Gentlemen, good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Happy Tuesday. How are we over there? What's going on?
A little tired from staying up for that game.
Oh, did you stay up the whole time?
For the most part. I was dozing in and out here and there. But
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. I was like the same way second half, about 10-minute mark when you knew that thing was over. It was like,
yeah.
I felt my head starting to nod a little bit. I was like, oh,
right.
What's going on? Where am I? Who am I? What's happening here? So that part of it is, that's, and obviously we'll get into this, but at no point should any championship game ever start after 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just the way that it is. A majority of the population lives on the Eastern Seaboard. People in California don't care about sports anyways, so what are we doing here? That's
right.
Really what it comes down to. You have to take care of your largest market, or in this case, your largest time zone. And that's us.
Yeah.
That is us. From New York down to Miami, and from the Atlantic Ocean basically to like the Indiana border, that's where a majority of the population rests at. We are the fans. We are it. The fact that it was, 9:20 Eastern time, which I believe at Arizona, is Arizona right now, because they don't ever flip times. I think that, are they 2 or 3 hours behind right now? That part I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
If we sprung ahead, then they might be. Now I got to look this up. Well, I have to, because now I feel like an idiot. That would be really bad if that was the case. But either way, we'll have to we'll figure that out. What time is it right now in Phoenix, Arizona? That would be. Let me just double check real quick and see what Phoenix is saying. Because if that's the case, it's 3:05. So we sprung ahead, so they're 3 hours behind. We'll fall behind, and they're just going to stay where they're at.
Okay.
So they're going to stay at 3:05. If we were to fall behind right now, we were 5:05, they'd still be at 3:05. They're the ones that do it right. They do not acknowledge daylight savings at
all. Right. Okay.
And good for them. Nor should they.
Yeah, I thought we were supposed to get to that point, too.
One day, my friend. One day. The question is, do we want it to be right here, or do we want to fall behind and never spring ahead again?
Right.
Which I'm okay with. Either way, like I am 100% whatever they want to do. Either side, I'm good with it. Let's just stop the madness. It's not about, you know, the farmers anymore. The combines all have lights. It's not about the kids. I don't know really why we do it. No one can explain a legitimate answer to me as to why. So when somebody figures that out, please do share. I would be more than happy to listen to whatever your take is on this. Outside of the national championship game, last night the Toronto Maple Leafs took on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Why is this important to you? Because of Detroit Red Wings wild card watch. That's officially what we were on. It's like a tornado watch, right? We have to just pay attention to everything. The sirens are going off. The Pens lost that game last night to Toronto, 3-2. Toronto's already in regardless. The question is, will they be the number three in the Atlantic Division, or will they be the number one wild card? It doesn't really matter to us either way, because they were at 97 points going in to it. We were at 84. And with five games remaining, even if we won every game, we still weren't catching them mathematically. So it doesn't matter. The good news is they beat Pittsburgh, who has 84 points, which is tied with the Wings, right? And now we have a game in hand going into tonight's massive matchup with the Washington Capitals. So we'll talk about that game a little bit later on as well. And of course, the national championship. Yesterday, and I debated this a little bit with, I threw this out there. I was debating this with myself, basically. I kind of threw this out to Ryan as well, because I had the chance to talk to Phil Martelli last night, and it's a really, really good interview. Like, it's a really good conversation. A lot of it is more like theory. Or current state of athletics. There's a little bit of a preview for the game, but you know, it's a good interview. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna run that in the morning, because I think that you, the listener, outside of me asking him who does he like in tonight's game, Purdue and Connecticut. So obviously it's a little dated. Outside of that, it's really good. It's good. It could be applied, and I think that you will very much like the interview and the commentary back and forth between Coach Martelli and myself and my cohort in the evening. So we got a lot here, a lot to do today, and a busy day. And man, I mean, who would have thought after the start that we had that the Tigers would lose three in a row and the season would be over. I was not ready for that at all. At all. I mean, that's pretty incredible that just like that, we could everything poof. It's all done. Yesterday, they played 6:40 start time. Lost 7-4. Reese Olson got knocked around. I mean, we'll talk about it, but at the same time, like, there is a there's something here that is a little bit of a problem. And I know, like, I mean, look, we were arguing yesterday because I said it was a big year for Spencer Torkelson. That's all I said, and people were mad at me about that. You're going to be really mad at me when you realize that, yeah, maybe 90 wins was a little overzealous. Just a little bit. So we'll get into the Tigers game as well. Not a good outing, though. When Reese Olson lasts 4 1/3 and gives up 9 hits and 6 earned runs, there is nothing, and I mean nothing, that offense is going to be able to do. Stick around. Stay with us. We'll be back with more X's and Bros. We're going to dive into that Tigers game coming up next. Then we're going to get into that conversation that I had with Phil Martelli from yesterday evening. We'll play that for you as well. Plenty to go on the national championship game. A surprise candidate, allegedly, for Michigan State basketball to fill the assistant role. We'll talk about that as well. And make or break tonight for the Detroit Red Wings. Lots of topics, lots to get to. Don't go anywhere. Keep it locked right here. X's and Bros, Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for my good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now, they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now, if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000. And you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and The Huge Show.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
This is X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros, Michigan Sports and Network. Great to have you riding along with us, no matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio and worldwide in the iHeartRadio app. Did you get the total eclipse of your heart? Was that a part of your day yesterday, the solar eclipse? There was some really good internet commentary yesterday on the solar eclipse. I need to know, did you see the solar eclipse where you were at, no matter where you're listening to us at? If you're down in Toledo, obviously they were in the zone. I-75 and US 23 were just bombarded with traffic, people trying to get to Ohio, trying to get to Luna Pier, Michigan, trying to just get anywhere to be completely blacked out. So I know that our folks on 1230 WCWA in Toledo, the Glass Bowl at the University of Toledo, they held a big thing for it yesterday, I guess like a watch party. But what about our listeners on 93.7 WKAD and 1340 AM and 104.7 WMBM? What about up in Grayling, up north sports radio, 101.1 WGRY, the Loon? Right, the Mitt in Bay City, 100.9 the Mitt. What about you guys? How about Flint, 1330 WTRX? Or, of course, in Grand Rapids, 96.1 the Game. Did anybody see it? Where I was at, there was no there was nothing. We had nothing. There was no eclipse. It was a little bit cloudy during that part, but outside of that, like, there was, I didn't see anything. Nothing out of the ordinary. But I am nowhere near the Great Lakes State right now, so that could be part of it as well. But I didn't see it. Ben, did you see the eclipse? Did it happen?
It happened, but I didn't have glasses or anything. All the people that I work with in the office, they all had glasses, and so they were outside.
So they all went outside.
Yeah.
Two of the best things that I saw on the internet. One of which was a guy had eclipse gum, the sticks of gum that's called eclipse, and he had taken two eclipse gum boxes or containers and cut them up and made glasses out of them for the eclipse.
Nice.
And I was like, look, if I saw this, then everybody has to see this because that is funny. The other one was somebody had tweeted out about the fact that when you go into a sunglass store, if you're going to go to the beach, you can't go to the beach without $125 polarized glasses to protect your eyes.
Yeah.
But here for the eclipse, here's a $3 pair of cardboard glasses, right, from the gas station for you to stare directly into the sun. The search results on Google, why do my eyes hurt? How do I get my eyes to stop hurting? That was really funny as well. Look, you can't fix stupid. So you just kind of, that just is what it is. Like, if you're going to sit there and stare into the sun, good luck. I wish you the best. It's you'll figure it out eventually, or maybe you won't. I don't know. Maybe your eyes are all spotty right now, and your brain hurts. I'm not really sure what to tell you, but I can give you this much. It's not a great idea It's not a great idea. You know what else isn't a great idea? Thinking the Tigers are going to win 90 games this season.
10 pitches or less, you get a hug and a handshake. And a fly ball to left field toward the wall.
Come on,
back and clear the deck. Cannonball coming. Anchor down. Brian Reynolds has his second of the season.
Go get you a hug and a handshake.
And that's number 100 of his career. 7-2 wow. Pittsburgh.
7-2 Pittsburgh. PNC Park, our good buddy Dan Dickerson said that was one of his favorite parks to call the game. And that was pretty interesting. That made it 7-2. The reason we got there was this.
I mean that they're going to have some business.
Connor Joel puts a charge into that one. The base of the wall.
How about Rowdy?
Telez into third. Joe into second. RBI double for Connor Joe.
Not good. Not good. Pittsburgh Pirates broadcast with the call there. Look, Reese Olson got the start. 4 1/3 innings pitch. 9 hits, 6 earned runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts, through 89 pitches. 53 of those went for strikes. Holton Vest and Wentz came in. They combined, gave up 3 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk with 2 strikeouts. Just an overall horrendous day for the Detroit Tigers, who left 9 on base. They were 3 for 12 with runners in scoring position. Spencer Torkelson was 0 for 2. Perez was 0 for 1. Colt Keith was 2 for 2. Thank God for him. Matt Vierling was 1 for 1. How about Colt Keith? Look at that guy. Jeez Louise, 2 for 4 on the night. Matt Vierling was 2 for 4. Both had an RBI. Vierling had a run score. Javi was 1 for 4. McKinstry was 0 for 1. Perez was 0 for 2, coming in some pinch hit, playing center field a little bit. Jake Rogers was 1 for 4. Top of the order, Parker Meadows was 0 for 2. He's got to find his stroke somewhere. Gio Urshela came in to pinch hit, play a little relief there. Moved to third base. That's when Perez went out to center. And Urshela was 1 for 2. Riley Green was 1 for 4 with an RBI, a run scored, drew a walk, had a strikeout. Torque was 1 for 4. With a walk and 2 Ks. Carpenter was 0 for 3. What an absolute disaster. Andy Ibanez had to go to the IL. So Wenciel Perez checks in from Azua province in the Dominican Republic. Young fella, just 24 years old, was in tears calling his family at the airport. Rushing to Pittsburgh. That's pretty awesome. Good for him. And you know what? Good for Andrew McCutchen, too, doing a little DH work there. He was 2 for 4 for the old Buccos, as they like to call him. The Tigers, 4 runs on 9 hits and 1 error. The Pittsburgh Pirates, 7 runs on 12 hits with 1 error. Just a real bad day. Real bad day for the Detroit Tigers, who now, you know, fall to 6-4. And it's not so much that they're 6-4, like had they dropped the series 2-1 to the Yankees and they were losing here, perhaps maybe to, I don't know, anybody else but the Pirates. I might believe in them a little bit more. But they swept the White Sox, who Chicago, by the way, is 1-9 on the year. They took 2 out of 3 against the Mets, and then to lose that series against the A's is an absolute disaster. This 2-game series here, if you could even call it that, they got to get a split today because they have now lost 3 in a row. Pitching looks disastrous. You know, if the other series, if they would have lost to Atlanta. Now, the Pirates, by the way, are 9-2 on the year, and they are plus 21 in run differential. So they're off to a really good start. They're kind of where Detroit should be right now, but this is not good. I wouldn't say we're in DEFCON 1 by any stretch of the imagination, but on our conversation yesterday that seemed to ruffle some feathers, I think we're right there. I think we are right there in that position where, you know, you're not going to win your season in the first month, but you can definitely put yourself in a hole. And right now, I mean, just for perspective, the Cleveland Guardians, who have only played one home game this year, are now 8-2 on the year. They're 7-2 to start the season on the road. They are a plus 36 in run differential and have lost Shane Bieber for the season due to Tommy John, who went 2 outings, 12 innings, 20 strikeouts, and the guy's elbow fell off. He just couldn't take the pain anymore. Like, that's it. That is it. And that's really, really a tough, tough ask for this club. Tigers find themselves at 6-4 tied with the Royals. I mean, it's the division is up for the taking. So cold bats, beginning of the year. Sure, we could say all that. I am going to raise my flag of concern for the Detroit Tigers. I think it's an issue. I think it's a problem. I know people don't want to hear that, but I think that's the God's honest truth. An action-packed fight card is taking over Las Vegas for UFC 300. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Ultimate Fighting Championships, is giving you a chance to get in on the action with a knockout offer for every fight fan. New customers can bet on any UFC 300 bout and turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets. That's right. From the much-anticipated title fight between Pereira and Hill to the exciting undercard bouts, DraftKings is giving new customers a shot to rack up some bonus bets. Betting is easy. It's simple. Just lay down some action on any UFC 300 bet, and you'll get bonus bets back instantly, no matter what. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code HUGE. New customers can bet $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets only with DraftKings Sportsbook, only using the promo code HUGE. The crown is yours. The gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus. Physically present in Michigan. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/MMA. We'll step aside when we return. My conversation with the great Phil Martelli next. X's and Bros, Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here with a reminder that on Thursday, April 25th, I'll be in Detroit for the NFL Draft. I'll be broadcasting live 3 until 6 from the world-famous Caucus Club as they prepare for the private NFL VIP party with Bull Rush Sports Management and certified NFL PA agent David Gregory. We'll be joined by Josh Garvey and his team from Dorn Mayhew. Matt Golden, the CEO at the Tullymore Golf Resort, will check in, and also our friends from Copper Craft Distillery. Be listening for your chance to win a VIP bracelet to get in to this private NFL draft night bash at the Caucus Club in downtown Detroit, less than a half mile from the NFL draft stage. It's being presented by the Michigan Sports Network and David Gregory and Bull Rush Sports Management. Be listening to the Huge Show for your chance to win a VIP bracelet to the Huge NFL Draft Watch Party Thursday, April 25th. 25th in Detroit.
June 23rd, the world's most notorious rock band is coming to Soaring Eagle Casino. Motley Crue. The Crue. Part of the Soaring Eagle Summer Outdoor Concert Series. Tickets start at $54 and are on sale now at the box office and online at etix.com. Party on, then take a ride on the wild side. Motley Crue. Sunday, June 23rd. At Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort.
This is X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
We're very excited now to bring in the coach, Phil Martelli. Coach Martelli, my good friend, how are you? How's life? How are things, partner?
Well, I'm just going to say this about this profession that I've chosen. There was only one person in the country that could hijack the national championship day, could get people to talk about something other than Caitlin Clark or Dawn Staley, and that is my man, John Calipari. So how are we? Who knows? It all depends on what's going to happen at 6:45, because a whole lot has happened with eclipses and earthquakes on the East Coast. I'll be honest with you. I'm doing great, though. I'm anxious for the game tonight. I'm actually anxious to watch my Philadelphia Phillies play at St. Louis for a little bit. And I'm anxious to talk to you guys about hoops and life.
So, Coach, since we're going to go there, Coach, please tell me how this game has changed since you've been in it. I mean, this doesn't even look like the same game, and I guess I could say that about a lot of our sports. But man, basketball, just this atmosphere, just everything about this game has changed a lot.
I appreciate you asking me that, Lomas. I've been prepping all day for you to ask me if I was ever in the 700 level at the Veterans Stadium when you went there to play. Oh. And the answer is no. I'm a baseball guy. I wasn't a football guy, but you know everybody in Philly had to be an Eagles fan. So.
Yes.
And I apologize if they ever said anything about you. You know, you make a really great point because I just got back from Phoenix, and literally every conversation, every meeting I was in, every sidebar conversation in the hotel lobbies, elevators, it was all transfer portal and NIL. And I feel sad. I feel sad because what Connecticut has done over this 2 year period, and where they've run over everybody, and how they're doing it. You know, like, yes, Klingon's a star, and young man Stephen Castle in the backcourt is a probable NBA player, and then Matt Painter coming from losing to a 16 seed last year, and Zach Edey, two-time player of the year, and it's all of the other conversations. No disrespect. And well, women's basketball has overtaken men's basketball because of viewership. But it comes back to how much are kids getting paid? Why are kids going to 3 and 4 schools? I do. I feel badly for the game. I feel badly for the profession. And I want to be a guy with a glass half full to say, we are going to come out of this. We are going to come out of it. We have to get some guardrails on NIL. We have to get guardrails on transfer portal. And I hope that we're all seeing a great, great game tonight that we can celebrate the game and not the periphery, which is really what we're doing right now.
You know, and Coach, and kind of on the heels of that, I wanted to ask you, because of the portal and the constant jockeying from team to team, it's like musical chairs, right, with a lot of these kids, 2, 3, 4 schools. And you think about the viewership, and I go to Caitlin Clark, and congratulations to the women's. They did a great job. Dawn Staley there at South Carolina, Lisa there at Iowa. I mean, both coaches have done a great job. But the women's game in general, it seems like there's been more stability. Do you think that the instability in the rosters has maybe hurt some of the connection that fan bases once had with their teams?
And you know what the thing is? The number of transfers in women's basketball is almost the same as men's basketball. But what they in that entity have been able to do is they've eliminated the insanity. So, for instance, Joey Smith puts his name in, and then an hour later, he's on social media telling you, these 35 schools contacted me. So my question is, who would have the time or the energy or the inclination to list all 35 schools to contact you? How about if we do this with a little bit of dignity and a little bit of less self-centeredness, right? How about if it didn't work at school A, why are you going to school B? And when you're going to school B, let's get it narrowed down. Is it, do you want to be closer to home? You want a bigger role? You want a different major? What is it that you want? But are we just all seeking self-gratification? So in women's, if they have the same number, but we don't perceive that to be, well, as daunting a problem. I do believe that young lady, Caitlin Clark, and what she did at Iowa, being in state and being now in the Midwest and understanding how powerful these brands are, like the Iowa brand, the Michigan brand, and how much pride the alums and the people associated with the schools put into it, I do think that played a role. But, for instance, the young lady at LSU, Angel Reese, anybody ever talk about her? Like, she transferred. She went to Maryland and transferred to LSU. But everybody out there that even casually follows women's basketball associates her with LSU. Meanwhile, let's pick a guy in our area, Terrence Shannon. Well, he's a transfer. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing to be labeled, but certainly the fans that sit in Chrysler, they want to be able to identify with a young person that is identifiable with Michigan, not just Michigan basketball, but Michigan University. So I don't want to compare one to the other, But I want to say, yeah, the beauty in college fanaticism, if you want to say fans, the beauty has always been that they fully support the name on the front of the jersey, and they want the kids to do the exact same thing.
Yeah. So, Coach, let me ask you this, and I'm just asking, Coach. We see the coaches move around, too, a lot.
Yep.
I remember you at St. Joe's, Dean Smith at North Carolina, Coach Campy at Oakland University 40 years. You know, you had coaches that stayed at these universities and became institutions there mm-hmm. at these universities. Do you think some of that is kind of helped navigate where we are today, where we got the student athlete moving around as much as they have or as much as they are?
I don't think there's anything wrong with transferring for the right reasons. I don't think there's anything wrong for coaches moving around because they do have a financial bite in it in terms of their buyouts. I think one of the things that we are missing, and maybe it's a societal thing, but loyalty is not loyalty and like in the world that you came from when you would hear somebody say, yeah, I gave them a hometown discount. I don't think, but that goes both ways,
mm-hmm.
right? That goes both ways. And you know, for a school not to stay with, you see a lot of guys now, like 2 years, they're getting 2 years to flip this thing around because maybe the guy at Kansas State was able to do it because he brought in 8 transfers. Is that what you want as an administrator? Is that what you want as a board of regents? I don't know. I don't like it because I would say to those players in the most difficult of times, or in times of celebration, when you want to call somebody to say, hey, I'm getting married, or I had the birth of my first child, or hey, I just got a promotion at work, and you've been to 2 or 3 or 4 schools, who are you going to call?
Mm.
And then on the flip side, if it's not celebratory, you lose a loved one, you lose a job, you lose your way, right? You lose your way. And I'm going to raise my hand. You know, it's public knowledge. I had Delonte West for 3 years at St. Joe's. There's not a week that goes by where I'm not reaching out. There's trials and tribulations going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a way, and he knows it and his family knows it, if there's a way that I can lift him, all he has to do is call. Had he been to 2 or 3 or 4 schools,
mm-hmm.
maybe he would be even more of a lost soul. So that's where I feel. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing to instill loyalty and a place of home? Like, you can always come back in the good times or the bad. You can come back, and it's just not being promoted.
Wow, Coach, that's such a great point there. That's incredible. I think you're one of my good friends, Jason Candle. He's the head football coach at Toledo. You'll like this one, Coach Martelli. He always said some kids love football and some kids love being recruited, right? And I always stuck with me. I was like, oh yeah, some kids do like being told how great they are. Now to some kids or some young men who really are great. Let's go on to the court, Coach, because this game tonight between 2-1 seeds, this really feels like a little bit of a throwback. Like, we're going to have great guard play. We've got some wings that can shoot it. And we've got some just humongous human beings in the paint.
There's your throwback. The ball is actually going to go into the low post. Holy mackerel. Now, if you've watched it, you know, like when we had Hunter, I think we were top 5 in the country in low post touches. And Juwan loved to play that way, tried to play that way even with Tyrus Reed this year before Hunter. It was John Teske. But that ball will go in the low post. And for the people that are watching this with that like coaching eye, watch the number of ways that Purdue is able to get Edie on a high low where they really make it a focal point to make sure that he gets the touches. And then I think from a strategic point, it's whether or not Connecticut chooses to double or are they going to play? Because the backup kid, Sampson, and I forget his last name, but the kid Sampson is the backup to Donovan Klingon. He's a terrific defender. If they're going to leave those two guys on an island and say, you know what, we're going to challenge Zach Edey to get 40, but we're not going to let these other guys get double figures. It's going to be terrific. Klingon is a great runner. What a shot blocker. And he has certainly used, coming back from his injury this year, he has used this to springboard him to be a, I would think, a certifiable lottery pick in the next level.
Yeah. Coach, any coaching advice to your sons? I see where you got Jimmy. He's an assistant at Penn State. And you have Phil Jr., who's the head coach at Bryant. Any coaching advice? Yeah. You're on the phone with those guys constantly?
Well, I've never purported myself to be this X and O genius, but what I say to them all the time is that it's not about man or zone, it's not about transition, it's not about your inbounds plays. This is a business and a profession about people, and make sure that you touch each and every person with respect each and every day. I'll just give you a quick sidebar. I was walking through the lobby in Phoenix with my wife on Saturday night or Friday night, and a young kid came over to me and he introduced himself, and he was a guy looking out there looking for a job. He was a video coordinator in women's basketball, and he said, I had to stop you because I sent out 100 letters asking for advice and asking just to talk to somebody. He said, I was a college senior. He said, 1 out of 100 answer me, and it was your son. Wow. And I looked at my wife and I said, job well done. Job well done. Because this kid, he said, and he didn't blow me off. He gave me 35 minutes on the phone, and I said, you know what? That's more important to me than any win that he could have, any contract he can sign, any sneaker deal he can get, or any clinic he speaks at. This is about coaching, is about people. And we want to respect everybody that we come in contact with, because respect given will then lead to respect received. Don't flip it around and think you got to get it because you're a coach. Get it because of the person that you are.
Boy, that's a lot of wisdom here, Coach Martelli. This is clinical. So now I got to ask you here, what's next for you, Coach Martelli? What's on tap? What's the rest of your summer look like? What's the next venture?
Well, the next venture is packing up here in Ipsy. And I have to admit, I just learned how to spell Ipsy after 5 years, so I'm a little bit disappointed. But I'm gonna pack up. I'm going to head home, and I'm going home to make a difference. And where I would like to start is I'd love to have a chance to, if I'm good enough, to do games on TV. I'm going to put together a little mosaic of my. I want to go home and I want to get into executive leadership, mentorship. If you have a company and you think I can come in and tell stories and, not just for yucks, but like meaningful, like these are some things. And I think you can be CEO, you can be chief financial officer, you can be the head of sales or whatever. But I would suggest that what you're doing is coaching because you're touching people. And I'd like to share that. So I'd like to go home, hang a shingle, and see if I can't help school districts. Can I help corporate Philadelphia? Can I help corporate Detroit? Can I kind of spread a little bit? And then the third thing that I'd like to do is I'd like to be in a position, maybe it's with the NABC, National Association of Basketball Coaches, maybe it's with the NCAA, where I would be an advisor to coaches, like a consultant, not X's and O's, but how are you going to deal with the media? How are you going to deal with your community? What charities if you're a head coach, how are you gonna interact with your alums and your assistant coaches? Here's how I would say this, fellas. That's in my brain, And it's going to happen. I know it. I just, and I'm not wishing and hoping. I'm going to make those three things happen. If I'm good enough in media, check it. If I can get into executive leadership, I just want one shot. One shot, and that will lead to three and four and five other shots, and then it'll grow from there. And then I'd like to get involved with helping the game. The bottom line is I'm going to make a difference, and it's going to be at home in Philadelphia.
He is the coach. There it is, our conversation with Coach Phil Martelli. Hopefully you got as much out of that as I did, because that was, that was just, you know, especially at the end there, right? And so you've dedicated your entire life to the game of basketball. Your two sons are both in the coaching profession now as well. So what's next? And that can be for anybody in any career when they decide to transition out and try to figure out, okay, what do I do next? How do I want to live this next chapter of my life? And Coach Martelli is just, he's just one of those guys. You see him, you just want to give him a hug. And I think it was a really meaningful and worthwhile conversation. That's why I wanted to play it for you. I know we had the question about, you know, Purdue, and I was riding with Purdue last night too. I was hoping for the Big Ten so we could knock off that sort of stigma around Big Ten basketball, but you know, just kind of that kind of is what it is. We'll step aside. Hopefully you enjoyed that. We'll be back with Hour 2 next. X's and Bros, Michigan Sports Network.
Hey, Michigan, let's go big. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver, and I'm talking real big-time winning on the hottest slots and table games on one incredible app, Eagle Casino and Sports.
Sign up now and get up to $1,500. That's right. We'll match your deposit for up to $1,500, and you'll get 100 free spins.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan. Made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Huge here for my good friends from Flying Ace Whiskey. Now it's an American-made whiskey bottled right here in our great state of Michigan. And Flying Ace Whiskey has partnered with the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter to help Michigan children of men and women injured or killed in combat, and also the children of our first responders who are injured or die and making the ultimate sacrifice while serving and protecting. And there's a simple, easy way for you to donate with that money going to the Folds of Honor Michigan chapter. Look for the Flying Ace Whiskey bottle neckers on bottles all across the state of Michigan here over the next couple of weeks, and you can donate, and that money will go directly to the Folds of Honor Michigan program on behalf of Flying Ace Whiskey. And also, Flying Ace Whiskey has put up 4 scholarships for the children. Flying Ace Whiskey, an American-made whiskey, taking a lot of pride in America. Look for it in stores and pubs all across Michigan.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.